Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and like the dude just said, just plain right. Hey, glad you're with us. It's Friday. It's Fri-yay. Copper is running the board. Fri-yay to you, Copper.
Thank you. About time.
Yeah, it is. You've had a week, girl. For those who don't know, Copper has spent the last 2 days doing one of the things that I like least in the entire world, which is having to move your household. So you are moved out and moved in,
at least for now, right? Thank goodness. I have amazing friends who help me all the way.
Wow. Yeah, you know, that's one of the things, too. I've always been told, you know, I drive a truck and a pickup truck. And when I was told one day, you know, what happens when you drive a truck, your friends are going to call you.
So, my dad jokes, what's the best way to make friends and influence people? Own a pickup truck.
Own a pickup truck. There it is. Especially if you have one with a trailer hitch. All right. Well, listen, get that triple dipper sound effect ready, Miss Copper. So we got a good show for you, too. Pretty excited about some of the stuff we've got laid on for today. So at 3 o'clock today, former state representative Mac Butler, a personal friend of mine, is going to come on the show because he just announced as of yesterday, it was released in 1819 News, that Mac Butler is running for the House again based upon his concerns about what he's seeing in the legislature. And so that's going to be an interesting conversation. We'll have Representative Mac Butler here in the studio to talk with us live. And then at 3:30, Copper's Corner, it's her turn. It's a segment of the week that I, you know, one of those two things that I enjoy the most is the sitting back and listening to Copper give us her perspective. But I got more than that, too, the triple dipper. Hit that sound effect, Copper.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
Yeah, Triple Dipper. So here's the three themes, the three storylines, if you will, that we're going to run with on this particular show. Number one, I call it peace through strength. And this, you know, it's a concept that to me is becoming alien in today's political environment. Peace through strength is what brought down the Soviet Union. We're going to talk about peace through strength in the current and the past sense and see where it goes. Number two on the Triple Dipper, what kind of candidate do you want for office? Have you thought about it? I mean, it's one thing to say, I just don't want the one that's there now. But that's really not a winning strategy, all right? What kind of candidate do you want? We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about that also with Representative Mac Butler. And then number three, well, there's a trend brewing among politicians. Have you seen it? I'm calling it refund the police. Refund the police. We've got these folks out there in office right now who had the gall last year to say defund the police, and all of a sudden now it's come back to haunt them, and they're back to, I don't know, maybe we ought to refund the police. Most notorious of which has been the statements made by the San Francisco mayor, but I'm going to tell you some things that have been happening just with our own Alabama politicians and sort of break that down for you. Refund the police. That's number three on the Triple Dipper. But listen, I'm going to spend some time today, like I said, talking about the concept of peace through strength. The idea that, you know, being the biggest, strongest dog in the yard does not mean that you're the most aggressive or that you're going to default to violence, not in the least. Strength, when tempered with wisdom and patience and strong moral character, is one of the greatest assets, in my opinion, to preventing violence. But in my opening comments today, I want to spend some time talking about playing your part, no matter how big or how small. Now, I'll be honest with you. In my case, I've got some pretty cool family stories, and they're real. They're anecdotal to some extent, but they're real nonetheless. And some of my favorite family stories involve members of my family just being in the right place at the right time, doing what they were called to do, and finding out later that it made a difference. Not long ago, I looked up my grandfather. You heard me talk about my grandfather on my mother's side, Brigadier General George McBride. He had a career that spanned World War II through Vietnam. It was really something to find out that in his last combat tour, he was the general officer commanding the major logistics hub of U.S. forces at Quy Nhon in Vietnam in 1968. But I also found out, and I sent a link to it to my brother and my mom at one point, I also found out that the general in charge of the 3rd Marine Expeditionary Force, whose troops were trapped in the siege of Khe Sanh in 1968, credited my grandfather's leadership with ensuring that his Marines survived the battle because he got them supplies through the enemy lines. My grandfather was awarded the Distinguished Service Medal as a result. The right place at the right time, just doing his part in the bigger picture. And then there's my mom. This is kind of cool. With a degree in microbiology, she embarked on a career with the CIA. Yes, I did ask permission before I said that on the air. We can talk about it now that she's retired. But she spent decades as a senior analyst, and I used to get the occasional letter in college handwritten on a CIA letterhead and signed Love Mom. I always thought that was cool. And we had an inside joke. I couldn't ask what she'd been working on. That was a given. So I would just ask, "So, Mom, you been frying any bacon lately?" And she'd usually respond, "A whole lot of bacon, honey." But I do recall once that during the lead-up to the first Gulf War, in the early 90s, she had done some strategic analysis of Saddam's chemical warfare capabilities, and her memo went in her handwriting to President George W. Bush, H.W. Bush, and General Colin Powell for their immediate review. That's pretty cool. The right place at the right time, just doing her part of the bigger picture. Then there's my dad, a career Army officer who, after two highly decorated tours in Vietnam, transitioned over to what we used to refer to as Army Research and Development. And he spent years working at the Missile Command right here at Redstone. So thank you to my brother Chris for helping me recall the details of this family story. So after Dad retired from the Army, he did defense contracting with a company called Applied Research. And in 1986, he was working in support of policy development for the Office of the Secretary of Defense with special focus on the Strategic Defense Initiative. We called it Star Wars. In October 1986, also the same year, President Reagan had his historic summit with then General Secretary of the Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev. And during the summit and the nuclear arms negotiations, Reagan told his team the negotiations were not going well, and Gorbachev's team was demanding that the Star Wars initiative be suspended as part of any arms treaty resulting from the summit. All right, President Reagan spoke with his team about agreeing to give up Star Wars to meet the USSR's demand. Well, at that time, truthfully, Star Wars wasn't working, but the Soviets did not know that. Anyway, the story we have is that Dad's boss came into his office and they were talking about the summit, and his boss mentioned that Star Wars was being considered as something that would be suspended as part of the negotiations. Dad's response was, "We shouldn't do that." And the program manager asked why, and Dad explained. He said, "We know Star Wars doesn't work as advertised, but the Soviet Union doesn't know that. That the Soviets are demanding it be ended shows they don't know and that they are afraid it will eliminate their strike capabilities." Dad went on, apparently, by saying that financially, we know the Soviets are struggling financially. They can't keep up with us in the U.S. with R&D, research and development. We should keep Star Wars, which forces the USSR to expend precious time and resources trying to counter the systems that we know don't work, but which diverts their attention away from other things. And the program manager looked at Dad and asked him, "Can you write that up in an executive summary in the next hour?" Well, it was already evening in Washington, D.C., and in Reykjavik, Iceland, where the summit was being held, they were 6 hours ahead. The program manager, my dad's boss, wanted to get that summary from my dad through the channels and up to the SecDef's team that was supporting President Reagan in Iceland before the next day's session started. So Dad got to work, wrote up his one-page summary of that position, outlined his thoughts on how Star Wars could affect the Soviet Union long-term. And our understanding in the family is the memo made it up to President Reagan. And the next day, Reagan refused to suspend Star Wars, and the Russian team conceded. And the Reykjavik conference is considered a turning point globally in Star Wars. And President Reagan's negotiations are considered, even by Mikhail Gorbachev himself, as being the main contributor to the USSR's economic collapse. My dad, at the right place, at the right time, doing his part for the bigger picture. Well, you may have gathered that I'm proud of my family. I just mentioned my granddad, my mom, and my dad, the ones I've talked about today, but many others in the family also. And my point, though, the real point of these stories, is that for there to be a position of strength from which the United States, Alabama, our hometowns can operate, then we need to make sure that each of us take every step that we can to do whatever part we're called to do, no matter how small or how big for that matter. You never know whether or not you, just you, might do that thing or write that memo or cast that vote or speak that position in such a way that your small part may wind up being that thing that changes the whole dynamic of the bigger picture. So stay in the fight, folks. The right place at the right time. Do your part of the bigger picture and watch what happens. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Well, cool stories. And yes, I actually did ask my mom for permission to be able to say where she used to work. And I did get letters in college. They were written on her her letterhead from the Central Intelligence Agency, and it would always crack me up. It just felt kind of like this sense of irony. Central Intelligence Agency, Love Mom. Very cool. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.